We've got enough numbers. There's my cue. We'll go ahead and get started. So we'll call this to order. If I could have Vlad, would you be so kind as to lead the Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely. Can we all stand, please? Face the flag. And ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you for that. Okay, can we get a roll call, Desiree?
Sure. Vladimir Anderson?
Vladimir Anderson, present.
Eric Duane?
Present.
Alexis Federico?
Present.
Alexander Gonzalez?
Present.
Alex Maslin? Robert McDonald? Mario Munoz?
Sounds like Elmo is in the room.
Marcos Villa?
Present.
Stephanie Wade?
Present.
And we have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. Alex is in the room. Alex, are you there? Alex Maslin? I'm sorry. There's three of you.
Just jumped in. Yep.
Alexis, Alex, Alexander. It's a very popular name. All right. Fantastic. So do we have any folks for public comment? Go ahead and open it up to public comment at this time. Members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. And then comments are limited to 3 minutes unless we determine that we want to let it go any longer. Do we have any folks for public comment?
We did not receive any public comment requests via email. If there are any members of the public present this morning and would like to speak during public comment, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 if you're calling in, and I will unmute you.
Give them a minute to get their bearings.
And seeing none, Chair.
Very good, thank you. All right, we'll move to item 5. Mitzi, you have the stage. Mitzi Huff, lead navigator for Strong Family, Strong Children. Thank you for joining us today. Mitzi, you have the floor.
Thank you, Eric, so much. As Eric said, my name is Mitzi Huff. I am the lead peer navigator for Strong Family, Strong Children. Presenting with me today is Dr. Larissa Owen. We want to talk to you guys about the Ask the Question campaign and really the call to action. Larissa, are you able to share your screen? Thank you. Next slide, please. So the Ask the Question campaign is a countywide initiative, and the key barrier to service members and veterans seeking care for civilian providers is that they don't feel understood by those providers. Family members of veterans and their children are often invisible and not able to receive the help that they need, because the question that's being asked is, are you a veteran? And it's really not asking about, are you a veteran and do you have children? The Orange County launched the countrywide initiative, the Ask the Question campaign. And the mission is, in order to provide the highest quality of care to our service members, veterans and their families, we must first identify them. This initiative goal are to educate providers about the importance and the impact of asking about military service and experience when families come in for services and support. When providers ask these two questions, it will open up a conversation that'll lead to better access to care. Next slide, please.
So, sorry that my title says Mitzi Huff, but she, you know, wants to be here twice because she's so excited about this. I'm Larissa Owen, and basically, the Ask the Question campaign initiative is replicating a model that was funded by SAMHSA and completed in New Hampshire. So we're trying it out here in Orange County, and we're adding an additional question that wasn't added in New Hampshire, and Mitzi will talk about that later. But we started it in about 2020 with a needs assessment of over 300 agencies in Orange County prior to the initiative rollout. And it showed that Orange County service agencies wanted help with how to provide services to veterans and their families. And so what we believe is that identification is everybody's job. An appropriate identification guarantees improvement and increased access to care for veterans and their families. So we like to think of this initiative in the three N's, the numbers, the needs, and the network. We need to know the numbers of veterans and their families in Orange County, and we need to know what their needs are. We need to know the needs of these veterans in regards to stigma, trauma, parenting issues, and many others, which I'm sure you all know about, but we need to understand what those needs are.
Thank you, Larissa. So what we're pretty much saying is that veteran agencies can ask questions. So what they need to do is ask about the children of the veterans. They can ask about the status. They can ask about family relationships. And then also the community agencies, which Larissa has already mentioned, is that these agencies need to ask at intake, have you or family member ever served in the military? And do you have children? Because what it does is we can work together once these agencies do add these two questions on their intake form to cross-reference, to share resources, to strategize, and to track this population. And that's what we do. As I said, you know, I am, you know, the lead peer navigator and outreach engagement coordinator for Strong Family, Strong Children. And we do that because we're community-based of five nonprofit agencies that have gotten together. And, you know, we are supporting these children and families. So we use a team approach of peer navigators and clinical case managers that actually have lived experience or are family members of a service member. And we have peer navigators that provide one-on-one support, helping these families out throughout the duration of our program. We use peer navigation, case management, providing referral and linkages. We have family and individual mental health services. We use a family wraparound approach of peer navigators. We have legal services, housing resources, intimate partner violence prevention services, financial literacy services, education, employment, and also referrals and linkage to additional basic needs. And all of those services are at no cost to the families that enroll into our program. So next slide, please.
Okay, so this network of agencies is critical. Obviously, we all know multiple needs requires multiple partnerships, since no single agency has the skill or capacity to meet all the veteran family needs. So we need to partner and build this network, but not just veteran agencies. We need community agencies that can include churches or hospitals, schools, food banks, women crisis centers, treatment providers. I could go on and on and on, but we want to make sure that we're inclusive of agencies that maybe don't feel comfortable in how they should ask, where they refer, and what they do with veteran families. So we don't want to have the VA have the burden to identify and serve all veterans and their families. We know that these families are already located in community-based agencies and are not being properly identified. This population should have their fair share of the $526 billion in existing federal funding programs. And that's why this initiative is critical to get that identification. Putting together funding inventory is a possible option with providers, especially in collaborative groups. So we also think about this process as the three R's, which is relationships, resources, and results. When we're thinking about network of agencies to serve veterans and their families, we know that relationships are critical. And I could do an entire presentation on just the three R's, but what we really need to kick off this initiative is your help to really build those relationships across different systems so that we can make an impact across the community. And so Mitzi and I are going really fast, but this is what we're asking for.
Yeah, so thank you, Larissa. So as she said, in order for us to make an impact or to show impact, we need everybody's help on this call. We need for you guys to reach out to Orange County, to the agencies that are here in Orange County, and to ask them to see if they have these two questions on their intake, enrollment, or their referral forms. If they don't have the question on their intake form, they can go to the OCVMFC's website, and there's a lot of information that's just on that page. And there's also flyers there that's pertaining to each one of the different providers on what type of services that they provide. And then if they do have it, the questions on their intake form, they can send it over to me. So that way we can highlight them as an agency that supports this population. If they add the two questions onto their intake form, also send it over to us because we also want to highlight them as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, what we're just asking you guys to do is to reach out to your contacts. Reach out to your contacts and ask them to add these two questions on their intake form. Thank you guys so much for allowing us to come and present on this important initiative. And, you know, we're looking forward to collaborating with you guys more on supporting this population.
Thank you so much. That was an absolute deluge of information, but I know that there's a bunch of us here, so each one of us will retain some snippet or other. But you did inspire us, Mitzi and Dr. Owen, and I'm happy to say that our theme this month is now going to be the unknown veteran for our coffee talk. So I wanted to ask Mitzi and or Dr. Owen to join us on the 4th Wednesday of the month at 8:30 a.m. I'll send you that flyer information so you can join us. Because the unknown veteran, you know, the people who aren't tying into veterans groups, you know, how do we get those people? How do we capture that information? And what you've said here, you know, getting different organizations to have that on their intake is absolutely vital to us capturing this information and being able to help the greatest number of veterans that we possibly can. So thank you for that. And thank you to Stephanie. It was Stephanie's idea. I'm not stealing that. So
thank you, Stephanie.
Fantastic. Brilliant.
I appreciate it. We're really trying very, very hard to, I mean, this initiative is hard to understand because if you're not connected to the veteran community, then you don't really understand why just asking, are you a veteran, yes or no, does not get to the people like Mitzi and myself. I am married to a veteran. So if I'm being asked that on a form for my family, I am going to answer no. And you will not know about my husband or his needs or my children's needs. And for Mitzi, Mitzi's military connection is her parents. So when she is asked, are you a veteran? They will not know that she has services that she may need because she's a military child. So we're really trying hard, and I think we maybe take for granted what we all know on this call. And I will say one more thing, that the 300 agencies that answered the needs assessment survey were mostly non-veteran agencies that wanted the veteran community, you all, to help them serve this priority population. And that sends a very loud message in Orange County that they want you, they need you, they don't understand enough, and what can we do to help them? Sorry, that was a mouthful, but I wanted to make sure you all knew that.
No, it's important. Thank you. Any commissioners have any questions for Mitzi or Dr. Owen?
Marcos Villa. Hey, Mitzi and Dr. Owen, just thank you so much for the work that you're doing out there. It's most impactful and certainly appreciated. I had an opportunity to get out there with Mitzi and Corey at last year's turkey giveaway for our veterans in the local area. And it's just impressive with the work that they have going on. I mean, to see the families being rewarded, I mean, truly essential that we make sure to capture everybody in this communication. So, you know, from my partner and myself, thank you so much for considering the families. That's certainly something that we can all collaborate on improving. And Stephanie, Semper Fi, thank you for bringing that up. And kudos to your work. Thank you so much.
I have a question for the chair. Would it be possible to get a copy of that PowerPoint?
Definitely. Just please remember that we put that together in like 3 minutes or less. So it's hideous, but the content is there. So I will make sure I get this over to Stephanie.
Thank you.
Excellent. Stephanie, you're on mute.
I just wanted to thank Dr. Owen and Mitzi for coming, but also keeping me honest, because I had this conversation with them effectively in January of 2019 when I went to my first collaborative meeting. And I had a lot of calls with Mitzi in between. And it just fell out of my consciousness. You know, I think of veterans and veterans and veterans, and I don't think about the families. And I know myself, my daughter lives in LA, and my son lives, you know, is a big grown up kid living in New York City. You know, I would like somebody to ask them the question if they come in and see what services they're eligible for. And I don't think, you know, if we're charged to take care of veterans, I don't think there's anything we can do that's more important than not only taking care of them, but taking care of their families. So.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I also think that it's also, it is a way that you can open up the access by asking the non-veteran in the family that maybe will help the veteran get into services. There's a lot of data on that. So.
Yeah.
Any others? All right. Well, thank you for your time today. We look forward to seeing you at Coffee Talk. That's very exciting. Way to capitalize on that, Steph. Let's go ahead and move into item 6, Executive Committee Report. We know that we have a whole bunch of veteran stuff coming up next month, right? Everyone nods their heads. It's the big month, right? Not to mention, you know, for the vast majority of us here on this council, it's also the Marine Corps' birthday. And I know, yes. that brings up a good point as far as getting the word out about events that are being held in person and those that are being held virtually. There is a list that went out. I made sure that I provided it to our events chairman. What I know, you know, what do I know? Who needs to know? Have I told them? That's all I know right now. If you've got an event to share at the end, when we go to council comments, by all means, please do share those events out. And that's all I have for executive committee report on my end. Steph, do you have anything?
I do not.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and move into item number 7, Erica Dancic.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Just a quick update on the Veterans Service Office. So you guys all see our numbers. We're still cranking. September was very busy. Over 2,600 veterans served in the month of September. We filed 850 claims, and that resulted in over $987,000 in payouts by the VA and college fee waiver savings. As far as our office operations, technically we are fully staffed. So mark this day on the calendar. I'm happy to say all of our vacant positions are filled. Of course, that includes Elena Kim, who is out on maternity leave, but she will return on October 18th. And then it also includes, unfortunately, we have one claims rep that is on jury duty, got picked for a jury trial. So they'll be out for at least 10 days. And then we have a couple of claims reps that are in CalBIT training. So that's requiring some shuffling with our appointments. We are booked out through November. So right now our appointments are being offered in the first week of December, but hopefully we can true up with those appointments and maybe open up some additional slots in November after our trainees are finished with their CalVet training and our claims rep comes back from jury duty leave. So that's it in terms of office operations. I did want to take a few moments to share with you an update on some legislative changes regarding Brown Act meetings. So you guys know that the governor signed urgency legislation during the pandemic to allow Brown Act meetings to be conducted virtually. And that legislation changed effective October 1st. So essentially it went through September 30th and the change takes place October 1st, where every council, every body needs to evaluate every 30 days whether or not they want to continue to meet virtually or in person, and then that needs to be taken to a vote. So the way that we understand it, and we've been trying to get clarification from County Council because there's a lot of nuances, but what it's looking like is we're good for October because the change didn't take effect until October 30th and we don't need to evaluate until 30 days after. So October meetings are fine. We just need to call OCVAC together to vote on whether or not November's meeting will be virtual or in person. And because we meet maybe every 30 days, maybe November's meeting falls on the 29th day or the 31st day. We haven't looked at the calendar that closely, but we may need to call a special meeting so that OCVAC can just vote on what November's meeting will be. Then that decision will be made. And then after the November meeting or after the 30 days from that time that the special meeting was called to vote, then we'll have to agendize another special meeting to vote for December. Are we dark in December? I'm forgetting which council I'm with. Are we dark in December? No, that's the SCAC. So we'll have to vote again for December and so forth until this.
Traditionally, we've actually been dark in November. But I don't know that we need to be.
I know we were dark last November. But before that, I don't know. Desiree, are you seeing the calendar in front of you? And is November noted as dark for OCVAC?
Commissioner Federico?
I have an appointment for actually it's on the calendar for the 10th of November, which is right on the 30-day mark. So we do have a meeting scheduled as far as this calendar goes.
I would just suggest, regardless of whether we need to have a special meeting, we should just make this a regular agenda item to vote on while we're all here. So even if we vote inside the 30 days, I would just suggest whatever time we meet next, we vote again for the next month.
Agreed. Do we need a motion to do that?
We actually have specific language from County Council on what the agenda item should look like, okay. You know, exactly what that language needs to say. So we'll make sure that we include that on the agenda and then we can take action on it because it will be on the agenda. We can't do that today because it wasn't on October's agenda, but right. We'll make sure that we're covered future forward.
You have to, I'm sorry, Erica, do you have to post a 72-hour notice for that?
If we call a special meeting, we do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we now have the information. What is your suggestion as to the way we proceed?
So I don't think that there's anything that we need to do today. It's just information only, and to give you guys a heads up that this will need to take place every 30 days. We'll make sure that we include it in the agenda. If for some reason the next OCVAC meeting falls without outside of that 30-day coverage, we'll need to call a special meeting, but we'll work with the chair and vice chair, make sure that it is properly noticed and that, you know, everyone's available, because we'll need to have a quorum to do the vote. And then we'll just go from there. It's really clunky, to be honest with you. I wish it said that we could do this every 90 days but it's just the way that it's written, and that, you know, we're required to evaluate every 30 days while the state of emergency is still going on.
That's okay. Yeah. And the next meeting is going to be on the Marine Corps birthday. Today's the Navy birthday. Why not? That's a great idea. So, okay. Do we have anything further from? Okay, absolutely.
Unless right. There's any questions on our office operations or for the VSO.
Any of the commissioners have any questions?
All right. Thank you.
Move on to item 8, Ben Gales. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, sir. Good to see everyone, as always. I wanted to start by recognizing Stephanie Wade. Stephanie was recognized at a CalVet event recently, a webinar event called Do Ask, Do Tell. Although I actually did not have a chance to attend, Stephanie, I've heard about the event, and in many ways a celebration, obviously, of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And so Stephanie was honored for her service. So way to go for that. I also wanted to note that a couple months ago, CalVet Home Loans Division celebrated its 100th anniversary. And so it's really a great program. The CalVet loan can actually be coupled with the VA guarantee. So CalVet loans money directly. The CalVet loan has a manual underwriting process. So there's no absolute restriction on eligibility. The CalVet home loan has about as good of insurance as you can find. If your home gets burned down in a fire, you'll pay a $250 deductible and you'll have full replacement cost on it. So it's really a outstanding program. I've never met a veteran that's been unhappy with the CalVet home loan. And like I said, it can be coupled with the VA guarantee program. So really a great program. And I wanted to highlight too that the next general meeting of the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative is coming up on November 19. It's going to be live. That's the goal. At UC Irvine. So everyone hopefully is registered for the collaborative's distribution. You'll get the info on that. And the goal for this meeting is going to be strategic plan. So in many ways, looking at the past strategic plan, how it needs to be updated, I think in many ways, in considering the virtual environment that we find us in so many ways, I think Ask the Question campaign is a good example of how just finding veterans, you know, finding people is obviously harder in a virtual environment. So I think that'll be a big strategic issue for that meeting. And I think that's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Any questions for Ben? Go ahead, Steph.
I just wanted to, I thought I'd ask here because it might be valuable to other people, but I was speaking to Eric Duane a couple of days ago. No Brown Act violation, I promise. But Eric was saying that the tuition fee waiver can be extended to graduate school for dependents or family members of veterans. Is that
to a terminal degree?
Absolutely true.
Even better.
My son was very happy to hear that.
Yeah. Tell him to get back over here and go to school.
Absolutely. Just remember that he's got to meet that, if it's plan B, he's got to keep that income under that line, which is about $13,300 right now for the calendar year before the academic year that he'd go to school.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And you'll need California residency too. So you said he's in New York, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Yeah. So he'll, you know, residency is established by the colleges or the university or the grad school program. So it can vary a little bit. I think general standards about a year.
You can bring him home now, Steph.
That's great.
Any other questions?
I'm glad you got that info. It's always great when someone learns about a possible college fee waiver benefit.
I sell it everywhere I go. It's a fantastic program. Any other questions for Ben? All right, we'll go ahead and thank you for that, Ben. And we'll move on to Dr. Kevin Alexander. Is he here? I don't see him. Okay, if he shows up, we'll pop back in. We'll go ahead and move on to standing committees. Communications Committee report, Alex Maslin.
I don't have anything for communications, but if I may, the other subcommittee that was created, and forgive me, I don't know if we had a specific title for it, our conversation about Afghanistan vets last meeting.
Yes.
Be an appropriate time to address that.
Sure.
So we just were in phase, kind of initial thoughts were a possible event sometime maybe in the September timeframe of next year that we could put together, maybe kind of a barbecue and kind of combine a lot of things. One of, you know, resources available, also getting veterans together and possibly getting some elected officials to come. Recognize, you know, specifically our Afghan vets based on what we talked about the last those are some of the ideas that we've been kind of throwing around, and we're going to spend some time here in the next couple of weeks trying to firm some of that up.
So Alex, you came in a little bit broken and garbled, so if I can recapture what you just said, you're talking about having sort of a welcome home event in September of next year for the Afghanistan vets, having some public officials there and a barbecue type format. Does that sound right?
That sounds correct.
Okay. And who else is on that subcommittee with you? Trick question.
It's all
right.
All the Alexes.
Yeah. And one Steph.
Yep.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you for that report. Do we have anything for outreach or events committee?
I have nothing.
Okay. If you have nothing, I've got something. Let me see if I can throw this into the chat. If you folks are not on, let's see if I can get this in. It's only giving me various items. Okay, I'm just going to send this to Desiree. It's a Veterans Day event for this November. And if you folks are not on, Tom Lasser, I believe he's a retired colonel. He has the massive listserv. I don't know if he just covers Southern California or all of California. Tom Lasser can be reached at, you know what, I'll just copy it right here. If you want to get on his list, you will get a ton of information. There's his email, just email Tom. And you'll get a ton of information about veteran stuff in general, period, zip, zilch. I mean, you get it all. And it is often more material than you can handle or process in any given day. But I think Steph's on the list. Yep. And I think she can attest to it. And maybe Erica and a bunch of other folks are. But he sent out a list of events. So I want to make sure that I share that with you all. And Alexis has her hand up. Go for it.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time to address it or if you want me to do it during comments, but it relates to what you're talking about with the different Veterans Day events. So I know we all submitted something to Jenna in the spring of this year that discussed all the Memorial Day events, Veterans Day events, everything that each individual cities held. And, you know, I think we all put in a significant amount of work. And I'm just wondering, maybe we can think, and it can be an agenda discussion item next time, but start thinking about how we can, you know, maybe through our webpage link to these events, or because it was a nice report. I'm looking at it right now. It was like 14 pages with all the district information for all the events. And it would be nice to be able to get that out. You know, I think this report was created for the Board of Supervisors, but I just know that we've been asking to like find veterans events. And I know that we all did a bunch of work earlier in the year about, you know, about finding that information out. So just something to think about.
I remember that. And did we all get a copy of that?
No, I don't know. So I had to specifically ask because I had been in contact with city managers asking them for this information, because a lot of stuff, you know, it's done through different veteran services organizations, but also the cities have events sometimes separately. And so I was reaching out to them and they asked for a copy of it. And then Bobby, again, not a Brown Act violation, but was asking me for information. And I said, why, you know, we should have all gotten a copy of this. And then maybe we can take some of that information and kind of post and update that. Because it just seems like a little difficult to have all of us reaching out individually to people, giving information, and then, you know, and then it not getting to the people that can use it.
Yeah, in the vein of what do I know, who needs to know, have I told them? And, yeah. And we did that, but we need to make sure that, yeah, we need to make sure those folks get that information understood. Do we know who has, yep, go for it, Erica.
So I can follow up with Jenna on making sure that everyone gets a copy, but I'm trying to remember too. Wasn't that like a retrospective report of what was done the prior year? So are we just assuming that these are annual events and we can count on them again this year?
So a lot of them are. So a lot of the ones we reported, because we reported in the middle of COVID, they said, well, we don't normally do this, but we did this instead. Or yes, this is what we normally did, but we did it virtually. And so it would just, I think maybe coming up with some type of battle rhythm or assessment where, you know, twice a year we can report on veterans events that happen, which I would imagine would seem useful, but also upcoming events. Because I think a lot of them probably don't, you know, are in similar locations and things like that. And typically fall on the same holidays every year.
Okay. And then we'll take a look at the working list that's going, and we'll see about maybe linking them to the calendar feature on our website. I don't know how many people go to the VSO calendar page to find out about events, but we can certainly promote that in the big voice or what have you, and make it more dynamic.
And I'm not saying we have to, but if we're being asked what events are going on in your district, then why are we being asked that, right? Like if no one's coming to us for that information, why am I spending a couple of days calling people and compiling these events, you know? And so I think it's more of like, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have that information, but if we're going to go through, you know, the process of gathering it, then what, like, why are we gathering it? Who, and what's the audience? And then how do we get that information out? It's basically a less efficient way of saying what Eric said, you know, but we need to figure out, cause like, it's great. Like if, you know, I'm getting phone calls like, well, what's going on in District 5 for this? And I can point to the information, but like, why am I being asked to gather this information? Because I mean, it is good to know, but a lot of the stuff is posted on city web pages and things like that. And so it's one thing if we want to report to the Board of Supervisors what happened, which is great. But then if I'm being asked like, hey, make sure to update everyone on what's going on within your district, like, okay, well, if no one's coming to our webpage for that information or to the meetings to find that out, why are we doing it? I guess. But well, I would like to put a shout out. There are a lot of really great organizations events and cities putting on veterans events, Veterans Day events, and I would encourage you to participate.
It would be nice if some of these cities that are putting on events, or, you know, each city has a manager of some sort, right? And they compile these lists of these events. It would be nice if we didn't have to pull the information and maybe it got pushed to OCVAC. I don't know.
Or is OCVAC the right person for it to get pushed to?
Maybe not. Right? Maybe like, push it to the VSO.
Yeah. I mean, because I got a list. I had the city manager of Dana Point put me in contact with city managers for other cities in District 5. And I was able to get, you know, of the city managers that did respond, and quite a few did, was able to get some information. And I know they were interested in finding out what other cities are doing too. Because, you know, and so in that vein, maybe that is an opportunity for OCVAC to kind of serve as a connector to share. Because, you know, if I know that the city's next, well, I go to the same one every, you know, if I live in the, you know, Dana Point, then I'm going to go to the Dana Point one, not the San Clemente one each year. But then how are they realizing like, oh, well, what they did was really great. Maybe we want to incorporate that or offer that service. And so, you know, maybe that's, and I'm getting off on a tangent here, but maybe that can be a discussion item for next time. Like if we're asking to, you know, why are we being asked to collect this information? If we are, is there an opportunity where we can provide it in a method that's useful for people?
What would we can agendize that for sure. So
yeah, just as a discussion item. I don't have a great okay. idea now. I think
we'll
I
do that, little, please.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll have that as an agenda item discussion for events or Veterans Day events, or how do you want to, just events in general, Marcos?
Like veterans relate, like I don't know, city sponsored veterans related events or something like that, or I don't know.
Okay,
I'll work on a title before we get it on the next agenda.
Well, we'll put it on the agenda and then we'll solidify the title or heading for it later.
This is Alex. I'm not going to go into too much detail right now since we're going to agendize this, but since I work for a city, I do have some perspective on this. And perhaps some of the options that you can consider is like a community bulletin board. A lot of city websites have that, where they not only post city information, city events, but also events for the community. So just some thoughts and ideas to help the conversation go.
Appreciate it. Marcos has the floor.
You know, same with Alexander, just building off of this conversation. I work on the community level, and, you know, these flyers are certainly useful. I know that there's a lot of times that we don't get that, you know, the feedback on it. And I just want to say that, you know, from the community side, the VFW over in Anaheim, we're making good use out of these flyers. Along with that, I've been following the VSO's social media page, their Instagram, and I mean, they're fairly active with getting the posts out. But just hearing out the conversation, I do think that, you know, we can reinforce engagement. There's a lot of technology opportunities and really just a lot of conversation for next month, but a great conversation to get started with. Thank you for that.
Thank you. All right, we got anything else under events and outreach?
Chairman Duane, can I jump in here real quick?
You go for it.
You know, mainly I made a mistake and I want to correct. I had indicated that the upcoming general meeting, the collaborative, is going to be on the 19th. I was looking at something wrong. It's actually the 17th. It'll be at 8:30 at UC Irvine. So if anyone's putting that on their calendar now, I just wanted to correct myself. Thanks.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you. Erica?
Sorry, Eric. Sorry to go back. But the events that Alexis was referencing was part of the OCVAC 2020 annual report that goes to the Board of Supervisors. It is posted on the VSO website. So I just dropped the link in the chat.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
And it's possible that Chair Hahn did send a copy to everybody.
I think he might have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seem to recall it. It was lengthy, very comprehensive. It was a good report. All right. We have moved into, unless we have, did Dr. Alexander show up? Nope. Okay. Then we'll go into council comments. Alexis, we'll start with you.
I think I already gave my comments, but I'd also like to thank everyone here and give a special shout out to Bobby McDonald. I was able to go to the Veteran Cemetery and I didn't stay for the full tour, the proposed site, I should say. But I think that was a really great event and I learned a lot from that. And then also, you know, I think he was calling a lot of us not to talk about anything substantive, but to get events and to try to disseminate information. So I know he's not here, it's his birthday, but I just wanted to state my appreciation for him.
Very good, thank you. All right, Vladimir.
I understand that I've been absent for quite some time. I wanna just thank the members of the board, of the commission, who have been there for my family and I, and it's truly, truly appreciated. And Semper Fi Delis.
Thank you for that. Marcos?
Appreciate being here with everybody. It's always good talking with a bunch of leaders. Just lots of good impacts out there. Appreciate the good information being shared. And Semper Fi, and thank you.
Thank you. We've got Alexander Gonzalez.
Hey everyone, sorry I'm on the road, so I apologize for any background noise, but I just wanted to thank Stephanie for inviting Mitzi and Dr. Owen to come speak about the Ask the Questions campaign. I know I certainly worked with them closely in previous capacities, so it's really exciting to get that conversation going again and get organizations thinking. I don't want to add too much more, just today is the Navy's birthday. So happy birthday to the U.S. Navy, and thank you very much.
Right on. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier, so it's not, I don't know if it's actually Bobby's birthday, but I was saying happy birthday to Bobby earlier because it's the United States Navy's 246th birthday, so hopefully he's having some birthday cake. All right, Alex Maslin.
Hi, everyone else. Just thank you. There's a ton of good information flowing around, so it's awesome.
Very good. Thank you, Stephanie.
I got two quick things. One, to follow up on what Alexis was talking about. And, you know, we OCVAC voted in support and of what the supervisors were doing on the Gypsum Canyon site for a veteran cemetery. And I'll just add that Seal Beach became almost one of the cities that's passed a resolution just last night. It's my new city. I just moved to Seal Beach. So so that's one bit, you know, basically everybody but Irvine, and Irvine, it's still contested, is supporting this. So I think it's really going to happen, though we probably all got to continue to lobby for it because it's going to need a lot of money. And the other thing I wanted to update you about is you may have seen in the news that Secretary McDonough, Secretary of the VA, announced a reform supporting LGBT veterans who may have been kicked out during Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I'm involved in a working group with Stephanie Cohen, who's a senior advisor to Sheila Kuehl, the supervisor up in Los Angeles. And we have a working group with several other organizations and individuals working on LGBT discharges. And we looked at that and we all scratched our heads because it's very unclear what that reform is really going to do. And it's really, and to the extent that they haven't really published the memorandum, and it's not clear how veterans who may qualify are going to access benefits under that program. But the gist of it is, even in the best case scenario, what he announced doesn't help many of the veterans really were kicked out because they were gay. It's very limited. And it doesn't address the fact that they still have bad paper and it hurts their job prospects, et cetera. So, you know, while we applaud any effort to improve things, we're still working on that issue. And I had a phone call this morning with Stephanie Cohen and the executive director of the Modern Military Association of America, which is the LGBT veterans and active duty service group, the national one. And they're considering, just keeping the back of your hat, they're getting close to maybe having a class action lawsuit against the DOD, saying, you know, that this is unfair. And all the veterans who've gotten relief, especially, you know, the Army veterans where, you know, they weren't giving upgrades that were really richly deserved. Basically, that's how they've gotten relief. And the other thing I can tell you is that we're working closely with somebody from Veterans Legal Institute who's helping us to draft the text of a memo. And the way discharges are done and the real governing guidelines come in the form of DOD memos from the Secretary of Defense stipulating what the rules are. And so we're going to tee that all up so that if there is a court settlement, the memo is right there and we make sure it does the things that were needed. So in any event, I just wanted to thank everybody again for supporting that and give you an update on that.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Stephanie. The only thing I have is on a personal note, Friday, I am going under anesthesia. So if I don't come out, Stephanie, you're the boss. Having a little hardware removed from my body. So no big deal.
Knee's going to feel better afterwards, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. I can't wait. Oh my goodness. But that is it. Anybody has no parting shots or no save rounds, we'll go ahead and move the meeting to adjournment. Everyone have a wonderful week and hope to see you at a Veterans Day event next month. See you on the Marine Corps birthday. Take care.